Hi, I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 169 on October 3rd, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron so that I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and all that stuff for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And remember, an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure Products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRyder, and be sure to use the coupon code Ryder for 15% off of your purchase. That's R-Y-D-E-R. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay, let's do a Patreon update. I have one more patron.
Yes. Yes.
Chris has signed up to be a patron for $5 a month. Chris, thank you so much for your generous contribution. Really, really appreciate it. So let's get down to the letters here. A longtime listener sent me a clip, a video clip that was black and white of a woman pegging a guy with an impossibly long and pretty big in diameter dildo. It's really well done, actually. He's obviously loving it. And it kind of defies belief that anything that long can actually go all the way inside of him. So my listener, Jim, sent this to me and said, your thoughts on this, right? So here's something that I have been looking into recently that has intrigued me. This is getting into the physiology part of why this feels good. Not only does stimulation of the prostate gland feel good, but the parasympathetic nervous system. Okay, there's two branches of the nervous system, and I'm probably not going to say this right, so people out there who know a whole lot more than I do, excuse me if I don't say it quite right, but you've got the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Sympathetic is voluntary nervous system, and these are things that are under your voluntary control, and the parasympathetic is things that happen without you even knowing about it. For example, you recall that many times on this podcast I have talked about Hirsch's sphincter, and this is the sphincter that is at the end of the rectal canal. It constricts to keep the excrement in your colon, and then every once in a while it opens up. You're not thinking about it. It just happens. And so that's a definition of like parasympathetic, right? So that is run by the vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S. And there's some way, way cool things about the vagus nerve system, so to speak. Stimulation of the vagus nerve system can be achieved in a whole bunch of ways and has a remarkable list of benefits. So this is like one more thing to add, a benefit of getting pegged. So let me explain a little bit more about it. And I'm going to put a bunch of links in the Linkorama for everybody. And of course, I'm going to put a link to that clip because everybody wants to see it now that I've described it, right? Or at least some of you might want to see it. If you do watch it, you'll see what I mean. It's like, seriously, you expect it to come out of his mouth or something. I mean, it's really, really long. And I have no doubt that it's sort of rearranging things in the colon, but those branches of the vagus nerve actually wrap around the colon and go all the way down to the rectal area. Anyway, let's start back at the beginning, and let me give you some information here. This is information pulled directly from an article in Psychology Today, and this is by a man named Christopher Berglund, and the name of the article is Vagus Nerve Stimulation Dramatically Reduces Inflammation. Recent research has shown that inflammatory responses are the building blocks of many, many diseases and can lead to chronic pain and all kinds of stuff, right? So one of the things that alternative types of healing people have been trying to accomplish is reduction of inflammation. I mean, this is why you see the water that is really alkaline that people drink, which I think is kind of wild because, I mean, as soon as you drink that, it's going to go into your stomach where your stomach acids are, and I'm not sure if it has any effect whatsoever. But the point is, inflammation is a hot topic right now because what they're finding is that inflammation underlies just about everything that goes wrong with your body. It's pretty amazing. And unsurprisingly, you can reduce the inflammation in your body by eating right. Define right. Oh, it's that whole list that we all love so much that you're not supposed to do, right? It's the sugar. It's the processed grains and processed food. It's too much meat. It's alcohol. You know, it's all those things that are so yummy. Those all contribute to inflammation. Well, okay, what happens inside the body when inflammation happens? So when the nervous system gets stressed, it also causes inflammation in your body. And typically, doctors are going to prescribe medications to combat that. But another way that it describes in this article is to combat that inflammation is by engaging the vagus nerve and improving what they call, quote, vagal tone. So this can be achieved in a number of ways. It can be achieved through daily habits such as like yoga and meditation, or they've actually developed an implant to stimulate the vagus nerve in really serious cases of rheumatoid arthritis because they found that it plays such a big part. So the vagus nerve is known as the wandering nerve because it has multiple branches, and it basically touches your heart and most major organs. And vagus means actually wandering in Latin. The words vagabond, vague, and vagrant are all derived from that same Latin root. So in 1921, a German physiologist discovered that when you stimulate the vagus nerve, it causes a reduction in heart rate. And the reason that happens is because it triggers the release of a substance he called Vagusstoff, which is German for vagus substance, okay? The vagus substance was later identified as acetylcholine. It became that very first neurotransmitter ever identified by scientists, right? So acetylcholine is like a tranquilizer that you can self-administer simply by taking a few deep breaths with long exhales. Consciously tapping into that can create a state of inner calm while also reducing the inflammation. It's sort of like taming that inflammation reflex. So on the other side of things, the sympathetic nervous system drives that whole fight or flight response, but the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic nervous system, regulates what they call rest and digest or tend and befriend responses. A healthy vagal tone is indicated by like a very slight increase of heart rate when you inhale and a decrease of heart rate when you exhale. So that, you know, deep breathing, which you usually do in yoga and meditation, is the key to stimulating the vagus nerve. And there's all kinds of other ways to stimulate it as well. So a higher vagal tone index is linked to physical and psychological well-being. On the other hand, a low vagal tone index is associated with inflammation, depression, negative moods, loneliness, heart attacks, and stroke. So it's like a feedback loop. Part of what's involved in this feedback loop is positive emotions, physical health, and positive social connections. Because part of the research that was done suggests that positive emotions, robust social connections, and physical health influence each other in a self-sustaining kind of upward spiral. And the feedback loop that scientists are studying at this point. And this article in Psychology Today was written, let's see, July of 2016. Now, the conclusion of this Psychology Today article, because it also talks about a study that was done that gets pretty technical, even more technical than I've gotten so far, it says, conclusion, vagal nerve stimulation is a potent drug-free alternative for treating inflammation. Now, if that's not cool, I don't know what is. And here's a quote. This is a real breakthrough in our ability to help people suffering from inflammatory diseases, which, by the way, includes rheumatoid arthritis. While we've previously studied animal models of inflammation, until now we had no proof that electrical stimulation of the vagus nerve can indeed inhibit cytokine production and reduce disease severity in humans. And then he goes on to say, I believe this study will change the way we see modern medicine, helping us understand that our nerves can, with a little help, make the drugs that we need to help our body heal itself. So that's totally freaking awesome. So in my wanderings on Google and my research regarding this, and, you know, okay, let me back up a little bit further. Why did I get interested in this? Because I saw a mention somewhere that the theory that why some men like to be penetrated so deeply is that it stimulates the vagus nerve. And that's part of the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's one of the reasons that it feels so good. So that was just a piece of information I held in my head. And then I'm connected with the infamous Janet Hardy, who is the author or co-author of like 11 different books, including the second edition of The Ethical Slut and a whole bunch of way cool books regarding BDSM. Some of my favorite, like for example, The Sexually Dominant Woman, a workbook for nervous beginners. There's some really cool ones in here. Anyway, Janet Hardy is freaking awesome, and I'm connected with her on Facebook, and I happened to see her mention some time ago that the vagus nerve can be stimulated through the rectum and is responsible for all kinds of wonderful beneficial things like reduction of inflammation. So that stuck in my head too. And when Jim sent me this clip, I thought, okay, it's time to dive in and present some of this to you guys, at least to the level of my understanding, which, you know, is a beginner in terms of all of this physiology and stuff. I know a fair amount about physiology, but like I say, there's probably some of you out there listening that are going, well, she said that wrong and that wrong. But, you know, doing my best here to try and give you a basic education of one more reason why this potentially feels really good and can be really, really good for your health. So in my research, using the all-powerful Google machine, I found an article written in 2007, and it's actually an article that was printed in the San Diego Union-Tribune, and it's called The Vagus Nerve, A True Information Highway. This says a lot of similar things to the Psychology Today more recent article, but here is the paragraph that really got me interested. Overstimulation of the diaphragm plays a role in hiccups. As you might expect, stimulating the vagus nerve can calm the diaphragm, ending this exasperating condition. A few years back, a doctor reported success stopping hiccups with an unorthodox method of stimulating the vagus nerve, a gloved finger inserted into the rectum. In 2006, Francis Fesmire of the University of Tennessee College of Medicine received the dubious honor called the Ig Nobel Prize for his medical paper, quote, Termination of Intractable Hiccups with Digital Rectal Massage, end quote. So if you go to Wikipedia and you look up the list of Ig Nobel Prize winners, first of all, the definition of it is a parody of the Nobel Prizes. The Ig Nobel Prizes are awarded each year in mid-September, around the time when the recipients of the genuine Nobel Prizes are announced, for 10 achievements that, quote, first make people laugh and then make them think, end quote. So, I was able to find Francis Fesmire's contribution in this regard. He is among the list of the recipients of the 2006 Ig Nobel Prize. And when you click into the references, it takes you to the Annals of Medicine. And this is like reports that you have, studies and things that you have to pay for to be able to read in completion. And of course, the annals, I always want to pronounce that word, annals, the annals of emergency medicine, I believe it's called, because those two words are just so titillatingly close together and my whole world revolves around anal, correct? Anyhow, they will allow you to read a little bit of what's there. And so let me read just a bit here for you. Dr. Fesmire talks about treating a patient who had a case of intractable hiccups during the preceding 72 hours. And he goes over all of his findings in terms of his pulse and respiration and all that kind of stuff during the examination. And this is the really interesting part. Digital rectal massage was then attempted using a slow circumferential motion. The frequency of hiccups immediately began to slow with the termination of all hiccups within 30 seconds. There was no recurrence of the hiccups during the next 30 minutes, and the patient was discharged without further workup. Further on in this study, it says this. reported is the first case of digital rectal massage employed for the termination of intractable hiccups. It should be considered in cases of intractable hiccups prior to proceeding with pharmacologic agents. I like the way Dr. Fesmire thinks, I gotta tell you. It's like, let's try a finger up the bum before you start throwing medications at them. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody took him really seriously. And I can't help but wonder if Dr. Francis Fesmire is a fan of pegging. Who knows? Anyhow, getting back to the article here. In a more dignified approach to the problem, a medical device called the vagus nerve stimulator has been used to control intractable hiccups. The device sends electrical impulses into the nerve. And so this is the one that they have, I don't know if you want to say perfected, I'm not really sure at what stage this technology is, but when I researched it, I did find that they make an incision sort of in your upper chest, close to your shoulder area, and then they have a wire that goes up and wraps around the vagus nerve in your neck area. And that this is how they are treating really, really medication-resistant cases of rheumatoid arthritis. And this is a deal now. This is a real thing. So that is a way to stimulate it. I believe it's by remote control. I don't know if it's like, I think the remote control programs the device that they implant inside your body. So I find it fascinating that this is considered a more dignified way to treat something, because there's all kinds of benefits to vagus nerve stimulation, okay? And I also found an article that talked about like 32 different ways that you can stimulate your vagus nerve system, and some of them stick in my head, and I will let you know what those are as well. And of course, everything I'm talking about here is going to be in my Linkorama in case you guys want to check it out. But I find it very interesting that people call having surgery and having something inserted into your body with all kinds of potential side effects is seen as a more dignified approach than a simple gloved finger into the rectum. Well, in our world, clearly, we're not concerned with what people think is dignified, but what a strange word to put in there. And it also shows, unfortunately, the sex-negative attitudes. I mean, this article was written in 2007. You know, that joke of a award was given to this person to make fun of them, basically, even though he found something that worked, okay? What that shows is that the vagus nerve does extend all the way down into the rectum. So no surprise that this is a reality, because the vagus nerve and involuntary nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, is involved in your defecation cycle. All kinds of things have to happen automatically for that to work the way it does. This is part of the reason that it also feels so good, is vagus nerve stimulation, which can be achieved through the rectal canal. Nerves wrap all the way down. And I'm going to put a diagram that I found if you want to see a picture of what that looks like. It just has the nerves coming down and then the physiology. It's like a drawn diagram type of thing. So I'm going to put that on the blog post. But no wonder, that's one more reason that it feels so good. So check out some of the things on this list of 32 ways to stimulate the vagus nerve. Singing or chanting, yoga, meditation, positive social relationships, breathing deeply and slowly, laughter, prayer, breathing exercises, probiotics, exercise, massages, fasting, sleeping or laying on your right side, tai chi, gargling, oxytocin, acupuncture, chewing gum, eating fibers, coffee enemas, coughing or tensing the stomach muscles. So there's a bunch more that are a little bit more technical, and I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama for this too. It's called 32 Ways to Stimulate Your Vagus Nerve and Symptoms of Vagal Dysfunction. And this is on a website called selfhacked.com. And it also gives you a whole lot more information about different functions and or dysfunction symptoms and effects for the vagus nerve. So given all of that information, is it any wonder that getting fucked in the ass feels so good? And it does explain why sometimes those really, really long toys can have an even more intense effect. Now, as I've mentioned many times, putting a toy that big through Hirsch's sphincter takes time and practice. and relaxing, and you have to be really careful. You can't just like punch through it, because at that juncture where Hirsch's sphincter is where things take a bit of a 90-degree turn. So you have to be careful when you do that. But men who enjoy being penetrated with something that long have practiced and can do that and have approached it all carefully in the beginning, I'm quite sure. So part of the reason I think it's even more of a feel-good and more of an amazing experience is because not only do the branches of the vagus nerve wrap around the rectal area, but around the colon as well. So you're kind of getting a double dose of vagus nerve stimulation. So, hey, given all that information, you should get fucked every day, right? And the women are going to be all over my case now because they're like, Jesus Christ, he wants to get fucked every day as it is, and how I can't keep up, right? Those of you who have men who are so into this that that's all they ever want, right? Anyway, I just wanted to share that information with you because it's not a matter with those guys who love the big toys and the videos and all that kind of stuff. It's not just a matter of, hey, look what I can do, like a competitive thing. I mean, there might be some of that in there, but the point is, it fucking feels good. And guess what? It's really good for you. Now, you don't have to do the big, humongous toys to have it be a benefit to you. That vagus nerve stimulation is going to happen no matter what if you stimulate. You know, one gloved finger in the rectum can have enough vagus nerve stimulation to where it stops intractable hiccups. And intractable hiccups are defined as hiccups that just simply won't go away. They can't figure out anything to do to get these things to stop, right? And people have gone for days and days and days with hiccups like this. So stick a finger in the ass and it stops. Is that fucking awesome? So if you can affect vagus nerve stimulation with something that small, imagine what you can do with a dildo. That's all I'm saying, right? Now, the disclaimer is I'm not a doctor. I haven't trained in any of this. I have a pretty good sense of bodies. I have a decent sense of physiology. But take this all with a grain of salt and do your own research. And let me know what you find out, okay? And Jim, thank you so much for sending that in. And for all you guys who want to watch that clip, you're going to thank Jim too if it's your deal. All right, let's go to the next letter here. I got this message on FetLife. Hello, I saw your post and profile and wanted to ask you a question. When looking for a partner or a playmate, do you think it's better to look for someone who is into pegging or find someone that fits you and see if pegging could be an activity? And this is sent by Sean. So Sean, here's the deal. If you only look for someone who is into pegging, and that is one of your must-have criterias, you become a part of the group of men who approach women who are into pegging ceaselessly. We get approached all the time. If it's something that we list on our list of fetishes, which is how FetLife works, we get hit up all the time from guys saying, hey, I really want to experience this, and you look like you're really experienced in it, and hey, how about if you fuck me? So this is really off-putting because it doesn't treat us like people. So your instincts are correct in that other part of the question, which is find someone who suits you, find someone that you fit with. Now, clearly you are going to be looking for someone who is fairly sex positive, because someone who is not at all sex positive is not going to be open to alternative types of exploring sexually, right? But if you find someone who you really fit with and they are sex positive, you can absolutely ask them about that at a certain point in the relationship. Now, if pegging is a must-have for you and you are looking for like the love of your life and looking to have a long-term relationship with someone, then it might be good to lay some of your kink cards on the table when you first meet. So in other words, you don't have to look for someone who says they're into pegging. However, so it's really important in the first couple of dates before you have had sex, in my opinion, to lay your kink cards on the table if it's a must-have for you. One of the ways that Dan Savage has answered this question in the past is, if you're kinky, first you want to have sex with the person and show them that you can do vanilla sex, right? And then you want to sort of assess whether or not they're into exploring more. But I come from a slightly different viewpoint. If you know that pegging is something you have in a relationship to be happy, laying your kink cards on the table early on is a better idea before you have had sex. And you can approach it, as I've said many times before on this podcast, as if it's something really exciting, as if it's something that you're eager to share, really excited about, not at all ashamed about. Like, for example, One of the things I really enjoy sexually is pegging. Do you know about that? Because I didn't know anything about it until X number of years ago, and I started exploring it, and it's absolutely amazing. So if we go further in this relationship and we start having sex, I would love to share that with you. That kind of a thing, okay? As opposed to sort of approaching it like you have a disease and you're ashamed and you're kind of afraid to tell her because she might reject you. When you lay your kink cards on the table early, what you're doing is allowing that information to be exchanged before you are emotionally invested. You're also being really honest from the very start that this is something that you love. So yes, definitely I would advise you find someone you fit with. But, you know, the usual signs of someone who is really sex positive, sometimes it depends on where you meet them, but it also depends on how willing they are to talk about sexuality. Ask them if pegging can be an activity. Absolutely. So thanks for your question. I hope that gives you some information to work with. And here is another letter. This is something I got from Reddit. Hey, I saw your post about guys into pegging and cross-dressing. I see it's over a year old, but it intrigues me, and I'd like to share the story of how my fiancé and I got into it, if you'd like. First, a preface. I'm 28, she's 26. We're both into BDSM, and we're both true switches. We had started pegging about 4 months earlier. I'd done it before with mixed reactions. We were at the sex toy store, and I caught her looking at a prostate stimulator. I asked what she was looking at it for, and when she tried to be coy, I told her, I'd let you do it, you know. We bought a strap-on, and she's been hooked ever since. She says she never considered being a dom or a top, but my interest made it easy for her. I'm what you call hyper-masculine. Large, deep voice, conservative. So she says there's also a bit of humor she gets out of it, that of her range of partners, I'm the one who lets her bend me over, paddle me, and fuck me with a strap-on. The feminization / cross-dressing came within the last month. I had done it behind closed doors since puberty, but never with a partner, because it takes a lot of trust before I'm willing to reveal that sort of thing. But my fiancé is basically willing to try anything once. We have vanilla sex fairly often, as this is a kink for us, not a fetish. But sometimes we talk about kinky things during vanilla sex to get each other excited. In this case, we were visiting my dad's and didn't have access to our usual materials, so we started talking about pegging. The conversation went as follows. Her grabs my ass. I want to bend you over right now. Me, starts kissing her neck and whispering in her ear. You want to take the hairbrush to my backside until I have welts all over? Her, yes. Me, starts fingering her. And after you light my ass on fire, do you want to break out the strap-on? Her, yes. Note, from this point forward, all fantasies had not been previously attempted or even discussed. Me, do you want to make me suck it? Her, uh-huh. Me, you like making me into your bitch? Her, yes. Me, you want to put some lipstick on your bitch before you shove that cock in my mouth? Her, yeah. Me, use some eyeliner and mascara so my eyes look pretty when I look up at you? Her, yes. Me, feeling her extreme wetness. And when you're ready to finish making me your bitch, you want to make me wear a slutty dress you can hike up while you fuck my ass? Her, God, yes. She starts kissing and biting my neck and whispering in my ear. I want to dress you up like a slut. It would be so much fun. Punishing you, dominating you, fucking your ass, humiliating you, making you my good little butt slut. Me, I'm your butt slut. My ass is your personal property. You own it. At that point, we had to have sex. We both came within 30 seconds. We tried it not long after that, and I submitted one of the stories to Reddit Gone Wild Stories and Reddit Slutty Confessions, if you're interested. I hope this provides insight, future podcast material, or whatever else you're looking for. Keep up the good work. His sign-in on Reddit, in case anybody wants to read those stories in more detail, is Stealthy One. I'm pretty sure the way that Stealthy One is spelled, the O for one is a zero. So in case you want to go read on that, there you go. It's on Reddit. It's public, so I don't mind sharing that information here on my podcast. That was a very hot story. Thank you so much for sending that in. That was awesome. Here is the next letter. Upon first hearing about a series called Bend Over Boyfriend over a decade ago, after a long drawn out battle with my teenage self, internally convincing myself that I was not gay, as I was teased about being gay relentlessly growing up due to always hanging out with the girls and playing volleyball, I mentioned to my wife that I would like to try pegging. One of the reasons I convinced myself that she would at least consider the idea of pegging at the time was due to her cousin, who had just come out as being gay a couple of years after high school. She was so extremely supportive of him during this time in his life that I thought, surely I am her husband. She would show the same level of support for me. At the time, I was wrong. While she believed that her cousin should love who and what he loves, regardless of sex or label, I, as her husband, was not entitled to the same liberties in her eyes at that time. She instantly said no and accused me of being gay and asked if I liked or thought about guys sexually. To this, I responded a definite no, as I have never thought about or had any interest in males in any way, shape, or form. I did and still do enjoy feminine trans porn, and my wife has known this for some time. She accepted this, and while she doesn't watch it with me, she's okay with it. It took me a long time to get over this devastating blow to my sexual desires. I spent the next 10 years secretly buying cheap dildos, which I no longer buy, and finding clever ways to hide them inside of the house with both my wife and 3 children. A few months ago, my wife was having some feminine issues, and we were unable to have intercourse for some time. At the height of my frustration during this time, I told her that vanilla sex was not the only form of sex. She, thinking that I was meaning anal for her, told me she would like to retry anal sex a few nights later. While I was more than willing to try it out again after over 6 years of no anal play, we came to the conclusion that anal sex was not enjoyable for her, and I pursued it no further after that attempt. A few nights later after that, with the feminine issues still being a concern, we had just put the kids in bed and I lay down on the bed face down to check my phone. The next thing I know, my wife came up behind me and started to slowly hump me. First, it was a knee between my legs, placed precisely so that it hit my ass. She then went over, shut and locked the door to the bedroom, and came back, proceeded to straddle me and began humping me harder. After about 10 minutes of me squirming, she stopped, then told me that she was interested in using the strap-on, and that she would do some research on it and maybe even want to try it with me as a birthday present. Talk about a blue ball. And in parentheses he puts blue ass, ? It was about a week before it was time to go to Florida for a vacation as one of my cousins was getting married, and it just happened to be that we would be in Florida during my birthday. I brought up pegging again and jokingly said that she planned the birthday surprise at the same time as the trip to give herself more time to research. Little did I know, she was a good little student and had already done most of her research. As far as the experience goes, we have been together for almost 15 years, and during the act, she noticed that I was taking the strap on fairly easily. She told me to flip over and asked me if I wanted a bigger one. I kind of looked at her like, "What? No, this is amazing." She could tell I was lying, though, and made me go get my personal play toy, which was a girthy 12-inch long by 2 inches wide. Once we got it into the harness, which was a challenge, she made me ride her until I came. It was indescribable. We both had a talk about it afterwards and decided to order the spare parts Jacques, as the sport cheats, while sexy, was not what we wanted and not very durable. I also told her about the toys on your podcast and how I'd like to invest in some quality toys, and she agreed, so I just ordered the Tantus Vibrating Vamp and the Tantus Curve. Once the Jacques harness came, she said it was much more comfortable and was able to mount me for a much longer time, which I thoroughly enjoyed. When I asked her what made her truly think about trying this, she said that she got super wet when she was thinking about pegging me while I was bent face down on the bed the first time, and that it made her really want to try it out. That being said, I get unsolicited compliments all the time from both girls and guys about my bubble butt, and she has said offhand things to me about how sexy my ass is for a long time. I did remember asking her one time, in the 10-year stint, about what does it matter if I have a sexy ass if she doesn't do anything with it, but she shied away, and it was a while before she brought it up again. As for the side note, I'm not sure if you go there often, but Tantus has those things called grab bags, which are perfectly good high-quality dildos, and other toys, which usually just have oddball colors to them. As I do not care what color something is that gets put into my ass, these are a great and cheaper alternative to paying full price for an item that you may or may not want or like. I also sadly need to contact Spare Parts and let them know that one of the stitchings on my Jacques harness has started to unravel after only 2 uses, which seems very unlike what they are saying in all the reviews for this harness. Maybe I just got a bad one? Who knows? I would just like to thank you for all of the support and motivation that your blog and podcast has given me, and vicariously given to my wife, about this fantasy turned reality. I know that we have not met, and you don't even know me in the least except for this email, but I feel as though you're part of my tribe and family. Thank you. P.S. I would like to humbly ask that you play that music for me. I am absolutely going to play that music for you, sir. Thanks for sharing your story. It's awesome, and I'm so glad you guys finally got there. The problem that you had with the spare parts Jacques harness is definitely an anomaly. Those are usually really, really sturdy and don't have a problem, but I did notice that you said it took a lot to get the toy that you had into the harness. And I'm not sure if you were talking about that harness or an older one before you got the Jacques. Anyway, yeah, that is an anomaly. It shouldn't have done that. Kudos to you both. You for having tons of patience and your wife for getting there on her own, kind of, after all of that. Yay. So this is for you. Pegging celebration time. Here's another email. Thank you for your writings. It is valuable for us wannabe pegged fantasizers to get a dose of reality, albeit painful, although there's joy to be found in a rich fantasy life, and some fantasies are best kept as just that, fantasies. That's because the real life experience fails to deliver what the imagination can produce. And now, for a shameless pun, Ruby, I believe you have penetrated a niche market. Hope you get a giggle out of that. Thanks again, which clearly I just did. Warm regards, Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you so much for writing in. Absolutely, I got a giggle out of it. And who knows, someday you may be pegged. Who knows? Stay positive. But I appreciate all the compliments nonetheless. Thanks for your letter. Here's something that was posted on the forum. I recently wrote to you, and you were sweet enough to post my question and your answer on your podcast. For those of us who are new to this wonderful world of pegging, we are so thankful to have you. Some veterans of the exotic, erotic world can judge the newbies in the room, but not you. I continue to struggle with my sexual desires, but keep pushing forward. Sometimes, parentheses, all of the time, I wish I could be as open and honest about my sexuality as you are. Please know I am so thankful to be able to read your blog, listen to your podcasts, and enjoy your open and honest comments. And oh yes, you make me wet almost every time I read your posts. Peace, Sarah. So I responded to Sarah on the forum and said, you know, that's definitely what I'm going to read on my podcast as I fan myself. And the thing is, to be able to arouse my readers with my words has always been a really heady feeling for me. That's one of the things I love about writing erotica and just writing about sexy stuff and reading your sexy letters that you guys send me. And as far as my openness and honesty with my sexuality, you know, it took me about 10 years of walking this path to be as open as I am now about my sexuality and my desires. And I still kind of only allow some of my smallish town community to really know me because of possible social repercussions. But, you know, I had to come to terms with my desire to fuck men's asses and to beat them. And it kind of makes me laugh now, but it was scary as hell for a long time. What I did was I surrounded myself with sex-positive community, and that helped immensely. Because I was interested in the BDSM stuff, I immersed myself in the BDSM community, which is really quite a remarkable group of people where I live. And it's easier to be out and proud with people you know will not judge you. As an aside, I was contacted by someone who asked if there was a place in our community for a man who was transitioning to being a woman. And I said, absolutely. It doesn't really make any difference if she, at this point, she's a she, because she has transitioned. It doesn't make any difference if she's into kink or not, the BDSM. That's the thing. The BDSM community where I live, and I can't say that it's the same everywhere, but I do think it leans into being much more accepting of pretty much everything and anything, as long as it's consensual and doesn't damage people and hurt them and things, all of those good rules, right? When you surround yourself with people like that, it is much easier to be out and proud. And when I did that, it really was such a relief to be able to be myself completely. And from there, what happened is I kind of had this strong foundation of knowing myself because I was able to build that inside myself. And I began to tell the truth to people who asked, and that's where I am now. If someone in my smallish town community asked me, I'd tell them because they asked. But I'm not going to put it on Facebook and say, hey, by the way, I teach women how to fuck guys up the ass. That's not quite how open I want to be because this is where I live. Anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for that lovely letter. I really appreciate all your wonderful compliments, and I love knowing that you get wet. All right. Here is an example from the sublime to the ridiculous. Okay. Here is an example of some of the stuff that I get sometimes. Just to give you guys an idea. So this is just a couple of sentences. Every word is capitalized. Okay. Some people do that. I don't know why. My fantasy is to rent myself to women's groups, dress as a French maid, pass out big strap-ons, and satisfy all of them. All. Nothing off limits. That would be so beautiful. Their personal cum slut. Actually, I should have read that as their personal cum slut, because there's a question mark on the end. So, okay, I'm glad you had this fantasy. That's awesome. I'm not really sure what the question is. It's not really a question. I guess I'm the person who I'm safe to share those fantasies with, okay? And so, forgive me for labeling this as ridiculous, but at the same time, go to FetLife and talk to people about this is your fantasy. Find the groups who identify with the things that you fantasize about, because they are all over the place in FetLife, okay? I appreciate you sending this to me because you felt safe enough to do so, but there's no question there, so there you go. I would also caution you on the use of the phrase no limits, because that means anything. That means someone can grab your dick and cut it off. That means someone can take your finger and smash it with a hammer. That means all kinds of things. You definitely need limits. You definitely need boundaries. So that's important to know. I know that this was like a fantasy thing, and in fantasy world, that is a turn on sometimes. They're like, no limits, no boundaries. But in reality, that's not a fantasy at all. That's fucked up. So be careful with that one. May it remain a fantasy for you, at least that part of it. Okay, moving right along. Hi, Ruby, I have a quick question for you. Yesterday, while doing some solo play, I had a hard time reaching around to insert my new Vicskin dildo. As a larger man in my 40s, I'm just not as flexible as I was in the past. I have a suction cup dildo, but I'm not sure where to suction it to. I think my best option is on my stomach and pulling a leg up. That seems most comfortable. Any other suggestions? Love all that you have done to help get my ass pegged. Thanks, Brian. Okay, Brian, so here's the deal. I know that you get less flexible as you get older. I'm experiencing that. And I also know that flexibility is a little more difficult when you're carrying some weight. So those two things combined can make it kind of difficult, or one or the other, either one. So I have a couple of suggestions for toys for you that might help you with self-pleasuring. The suction cup dildos are awesome. On the side of the shower is usually the one that I recommend. And if you're going to do that, make sure you use a lube that has some silicone in it, because the silicone will help it, especially if the water is going to be raining down on you, okay? Because that helps it stay lubricated even if the water is raining down on you. If you have a shower where that's not the case, then just put it up against the wall and fuck yourself standing up. If that doesn't appeal to you and you really would like to be able to relax a little bit more, there's a toy I can recommend that Tantus makes. It's called the Tantus Echo Handle. And I'm going to make sure that they still offer that. I'm going to go to their website right now and check. Okay, there are three toys with handles available from Tantus that EnticeMe cannot get from our distributors. So you're going to have to go to Tantus directly and buy them from there. And they're called the Tantus Echo, the Tantus Goddess, and the Tantus Anaconda. You can imagine that the Anaconda is the biggest one, right? I think it's 1.75 in diameter and 7 inches in length. The Goddess is 1.5 inches and has less waves on it, so to speak, than the Echo, and a bigger head. You can compare them all and decide, but they're long ones with a handle, so it should help you reach. Another suggestion I have is men have told me that the doubles can be used as a self-play toy by using that little bulb that usually goes inside your partner as a handle. And you can hold that and then fuck yourself with the end that she usually fucks you with, right? So that's a possibility as well. So you've got the Fuse Tango. You can go to Tantus and check out their long-handled toys. And one more suggestion is just to take whatever dildo you have and insert it into the Liberator Pulse Cushion, which is something that will hold a dildo that has a flared base on it, any kind of dildo that you use to put in your strap on, the single flared base ones. It'll hold a toy like that so that you can ride it, basically. And so that is one more option. So those would be my suggestions. Let us know which one works for you the best. I'd love to hear. And I'll, of course, put the links to all of those in the Linkorama, but you're going to have to go to Tantus and just put in the search handle, and it'll bring all three of those up for you. Okay. So I do believe that we are done. And a couple of announcements. I have a couple of pegging classes in Long Beach where I usually teach at Tiffany's Place. And those are going to be happening on October 15th, Sunday at 1 p.m. The other thing I wanted to announce is I am going to have another podcast where you can ask me anything. I did this once before and it was a lot of fun. And I welcome personal questions. I have no back off on any questions you want to ask me, but you might not want to ask me the old tired, how many guys have you pegged? Because that's the one I don't answer. That's the only one I didn't answer last time. But I'm telling you this now because if you want to ask me any specific questions about anything, you need to get those questions in by October 13th. And this will be for the podcast that's put up on October 17th. So if you've been wondering some stuff about yours truly, throw those questions at me and I will include them in that podcast on the 17th. Thanks. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys from EnticeMe.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at PeggingParadise.com. No question is too lame, too lusty, or too literal. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.